Twice in today's Mass, we pray from the 123rd Psalm after the Epistle, the Gradual, and again at the Offertory. Our soul hath been delivered out of the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken, and we are delivered. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Ours in the West is a curious culture, post-Christian, they say, and I'm sure they're right, quite commercial. You see it the way Christmas is kept, all worldly and materialistic, a month of eating and drinking and buying and selling until finally the blowout comes with Christmas itself in mounds of wrapping paper. And yet, despite all of the efforts of those who hate Christ to abolish his birthday, something innocent survives, all the greed and all the gorging. For those who actually know the Christmas story, fewer than you'd think anymore, it is the Christ child, the charm of the crib, and as you just sang, yon mother and child. But for those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death and know him not, there is still something which savors of him, which draws them without their realizing. It is his innocence, the innocence which they see in every child's eyes, catching his voice just a little in theirs, and their own in the long ago, their own innocence which once mirrored his. Could they ever recapture it, even for a day? Ah, but it is elusive. Each Christmas, it seems to slip away like a bird from the fowler's snare in the psalm. And even if we treasure innocence, we trash it, don't we? Ignorantly, unworthily, carelessly, because it is not our words, the collect of today's Mass teaches that truth, but our willingness to die to self that proves what we really hold to be true. But we so often by our deeds will not, and there's all the entertainment and the keeping up with other people and the modern theories of dress and education and how an adolescence with all of its turmoil and trouble has to be anticipated and children have to be pushed into those terrible teen years so early, at so young an age. Few are they, finally, the little birds, I mean, who escape the snare, the tragedy of Holy Innocence Day, and every day in our post-Christian culture. But the Holy Child did, thanks to the vigilance and the obedience of his parents, who fled at the angel's word in the middle of the night, and right away Herod's armies, leaving Palestine before them as refugees with almost nothing. Down they passed through the Gaza Strip and then into Egypt, where they were unwelcome immigrants. It was a miracle, though, that escape of his, one more sign pointing to his divinity. And ever since, the Holy Child has been close to children, especially refugee children and the immigrant. There are so many, especially in his own homeland in the Middle East, with all of the terrible wars that have been unleashed. But our Lord takes care of the adults, too. He takes care of travelers, the Holy Child does, and the sick. He is the divine doctor. And to those who find themselves trapped in mind, say, or some other situation. But most of all, the imprisoned, to all of what the Spanish call the desamparados, the abandoned, he lends an ear. I want to tell you today about a Christmas wish that came true just last month, the wish of a son for his father. It's a kind of a miracle, I think, and a new sign shining out like some Christmas star, pointing out the beauty of a very old devotion. It was a prayer that was made in the United States right around St. Gertrude's Day. Some of us have visited or visit regularly that shrine I've told you about before in New Mexico, just north of Santa Fe, called Chimayo, America's Lourdes. It's referred to because of the many, many miracles there. That was prayed for there, but the miracle itself happened in another land by the grace of the Holy Child. His title I'm thinking of today is a Spanish or Mexican one, but he belongs to all countries, and his name is Jesus. If you've ever heard of the devotion to the Niño of Atocha, the Holy Child of Atocha, you would know what perhaps the miracle was about. One family new to our church recently donated that statue. It usually lives in the back corner, in the children's corner, but I've enthroned it up front so you can see, and maybe you might want to visit and see the little symbolism there. He holds a basket of food and a gourd of water and is dressed as a traveler from ancient times in Spain. The story does start there in a suburb of Madrid, the capital of Spain, called Atocha. The traditional legend is this. It's the same as in Chimayo. These stories start with the miraculous apparition of an image found in a field. In this case, it's an old carved Madonna in very dark wood, so that she's almost black. The Madonna and the child in her arm. It goes back to the Middle Ages. The statue does certainly in its age. The story is, however, much more modern. They say that when the Mohammedans came and invaded their land, Spain, and imprisoned the Christian men, only children, only little children, were allowed in to visit their fathers in prison. Remember that back then, until modern times, prisons never provided food and drink for the prisoners. It was up to the prisoner to make arrangements with his own family or friends for that. So that those prisoners who had no children would slowly starve to death. That's a good argument for having a big family, I think. Well, all of the mothers of the village prayed for their husbands. They prayed to the Blessed Mother, this ancient image, Our Lady of Atocha, that she would send her son to take care of their menfolk. And they say that at night, the Holy Child would leave his mother's lap and the church and go into the prison with food and drink for all of the Christian prisoners. And then they never said a word, the jailers didn't. They just thought it was another child. And get back to his mother's lap and the altar by dawn. But that if you looked at his feet, you would see that his little sandals were all torn and dirty and worn with the roads he had traversed during the night hours. The devotion to the child of Atocha actually started in 19th century Mexico during the terribly turbulent era of many revolutions and all the Masonic struggles against the crown and the altar. A wealthy woman had donated a beautiful statue of a Madonna and child, more modern style, and it was kept in a confraternity chapel near a silver mine called Los Plateros. The devotion began to spread because miracles started to happen all the way up to New Mexico, all the way over to the Philippines, and then finally today, throughout all of the world. They say the shrine in Mexico receives about 4,000 letters every year, pointing to the goodness of our Jesus and how pleasing it is to him that we should remember and honor his childhood. There's one story which has our Lord as a 12-year-old, the age he was when he was teaching the doctors in the temple. It's a story of a woman who led a somewhat loose life, and her name was Maximiana. She was a merry widow and got in trouble with the law again and again from the area of Durango in Mexico. But she remembered her faith, and she prayed to the Blessed Mother. And one day, a young lawyer, very young, very well-spoken, though, and of course, as lawyers will be, well-dressed, appears at her cell door and gives her a loaf of bread, saying, "This is from my mother, Maria de Atocha." And then the young lawyer goes to see the judge, who's also impressed with him, and he arranges for the woman to be released to his custody. And all the judge wants to know is his name. And he says, "Oh, my name is Manuel de Atocha, Manuel from Emmanuel, God with us." A grateful client of the Holy Child, who was healed of an embarrassing disease, gathered all of the stories that were being told in early 19th century Mexico and published a novena that they still make today from the 23rd to the 31st of December. A copy of that little leaflet of prayers made its way up to New Mexico in 1856 in Chimayo. There was a man there who hadn't been healed at the shrine of the miraculous crucifix there, and he came across the leaflet prayers, and he told the child, the Holy Child, "If I am healed, I'll go to Mexico. I'll make a pilgrimage there," which would have been quite an undertaking back then. He was crippled over with arthritis. He could barely move. Well, he was healed, and he kept his vow. He made his pilgrimage, and he brought back a kind of an image of the Holy Child, not a proper statue. They didn't have those back then. It was actually a German papier-mâché doll that's been sort of put into a little chair and then dressed as the Holy Child. But it works. It works really quite well. It is still to be seen in the shrine today. The common picture, if you've ever seen a holy card of the child or Niño of Atocha, has him in blue. Nobody knows where that came from. Nobody knows where all of these stories came from either. But then again, when our Lord appears someplace, or his Blessed Mother, nobody knows where they come from. The story at this point takes quite an up-to-date flavor, and it's my favorite part. The healed man in Chimayo, Severiano Medina is his name, Medina, opens his own chapel, because now he's got a miraculous image, in competition with the original chapel, which is only a short distance away, actually several hundred yards. And they gain the day for a while, and everyone stops going to the old chapel and they start going to the new one. And the old chapel actually gives up, as does the chapel in Mexico, the devotion to the miraculous crucifix they used to practice. And now it's all just devotion to the Holy Child. And everyone is full of stories in New Mexico about the child leaving his altar at night to go to do good and then coming back with his little shoes and feet soiled. So that's the origin of it's called an ex voto offering that pilgrims make. They leave a little pair of baby booties there, either as part of their petition or as part of their thanksgiving. You can see hundreds of them in this chapel. Sign of a happy ending, perhaps, to their pilgrimage. There was a happy ending to the conflict between the two chapels. Eventually, they learn to live together in peace, which may be the greatest miracle of the story of all. It certainly points to the centrality of the child in Catholicism and the lesson the children have for us. Children forget quickly, and children never hold grudges because they are innocent. The power of the littlest, of the weakest one, is at the heart of our faith, and it conquers every selfish, grown-up interest or fear which imprison us. Right here and now, right in our own heart, maybe in our homes, or in actual prison cells. What about that miracle from last month? Well, I know a priest from another country. His father, when this priest was growing up, his father was in the army. As a matter of fact, he was a general in the army. And at that era, the army had engineered a coup, as they will in certain countries, to drive the leftists and the communists out of power. It was a terrible, turbulent time. Once again, there were atrocities all over the place. And when the leftists, as they will, finally returned to power very firmly this time, they conducted a witch hunt and desired to gain a sort of universal revenge. There was a dragnet for anyone who had been an officer in the army. And so, therefore, this priest's father, because he had been a general, was arrested, even though he was innocent of any personal wrongdoing way back in that era. First of all, this fall, he was lodged at his old army base, and he was fairly comfortable there, when suddenly, one day in November, he was transferred to a proper prison, and he was put into a crowded, airless cell with three other men, and his health, which was not good, was immediately affected. He started to suffer. Now, his priest's son happened just providentially to be visiting Chimayo on a kind of a tour of Catholic New Mexico. If you've never made it, I recommend it to you, if you ever could, as part of your summer travel plans. Well, they were praying the rosary in the Severiano's chapel, the chapel of the Holy Child of Atocha, and they were praying the rosary for this man's father because the Holy Child takes care of prisoners. And he did that very day. Without any explanation, the father was released from prison and allowed to go to another son's home under house arrest to await the day of his trial. I wanted to tell you this story so you would know of one more sign this Christmas time, and that you would give glory to the Holy Child Jesus and to Our Lady. And if you need our Lord, as we all do, ask her to send her son to help you. There are many ways of being in prison. Poor birds, we. We need a St. Francis to set us free. We get caught in the hunter's snare all too easily. But if you ask Our Lady, she'll send her son to take care of things. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.